Okay, today we're going to try to deal with cheese and butter, Sif Beis and Gimel. Just a quick review, and then we'll see why the cheese is so chomer and why the butter is so kal.
Have you been sure? I left the Arfa Shulchan on the table in the study.
Okay, let's just review the facts regarding the manufacture of. First, we'll talk about cheese and butter, and then we'll have to get to cottage cheese and cream cheese and the other products we make. Milk is primarily composed of four components. There's, of course, the water, and then the fat. The fat is fat, and there's the whey, which is the protein, and the sugar, which we call lactose. Those are the three parts of, if you count water, four parts, I'm sorry, of milk as it comes out of the mother or the mother cow, whatever it might be. There are other minerals there that are minor as regard to our discussion. If you take milk straight from a cow and you let the milk stand, you will get the smetana or the sweet cream which rises to the top. And that will happen to any milk that's not homogenized. Our milk, when you buy milk, it says on the container that it's pasteurized and homogenized. Pasteurized just means it's cooked to kill the bacteria. Homogenized means that it's manufactured in a way that the fat will not separate; it'll be homogeneous with the rest of the liquid. That the cream will not rise to the top. If you take milk straight from the cow and you let it stand, you get the cream or the smetana which rises to the top, and you skim that off the top. And what's underneath is skim milk. It's milk without any fat. Without any of this of butterfat. Now, really, it's much more delicious with the smetana inside. Europeans tell you that coffee with smetana tastes much better than what we have. But we don't see much of a difference between what we call the blue milk and the red milk. So we don't know from these things. It's sweet. It can be made sour, but it's sweet.
It's like heavy
or heavy cream.
Yeah.
Well, the skim milk is not.
Even the blue milk,
it's
the red milk, they take off a lot of the fat.
They take off a lot of the fat. Okay. Now, if you take that cream from the top, and you beat it, it turns first into whipped cream, which is not the whipped cream we have. We have a chemical whipped cream that they had, real whipped cream. And if you churn it longer, it turns into butter. All churning really does is collect the globules, is that the pronunciation, of butter fat, and collects it together. And that is the butter. Now, the crucial thing that's the gas, the crucial difference between butter and cheese is that to make butter, you don't have to add anything to the product. As it comes out of the cow, you can turn it into butter without adding anything to it. That is butter. Now, any milk from a treifa animal is naturally homogenized. It doesn't separate. The fats don't separate from the rest of the product, and that's why butter can only be made in its normal way. Butter can only be made from milk of a kosher animal. Butter, as I said, is the most kuladik of all the halachis. Butter mikar adin, except b'makom shenogu lahachmir. The ikar adin is that there's no din of chol v'yisrael by butter, because butter in general is only made from the milk of kosher animals. Cheese is different. What is cheese? Cheese is that you take the milk. It doesn't have to have the butter fat in it. It has nothing to do with the butter fat, whether it's skim milk or regular milk. You take that and you add into it an ingredient which causes it to curdle. Now, that's, again, the crucial difference between butter and cheese. For butter, you don't have to add anything. For cheese, you add rennet of some type. The original rennet was rennet made from a cava of an animal, even in the vela, even a kosher animal. But they take from the stomach, the enzymes of the stomach. They add that, the rennet is added. That causes a separation of the curdle, of the curds and whey, as in Lulu Miss Muffet, who had curds and whey. The curds are about 10% of the milk. They are curds of cheese. Those curds, if you ever left milk in your refrigerator for a very long time, you come back after the summer and you find curds have risen. Those curds, well, they're really cottage cheese. No rennet was added. That would be cottage cheese. You don't have to add any rennet to make cottage cheese. And if you were to add rennet to either speed up or change the way it separates, you would get the curds. Now what they do is they take cheesecloth, they pass the mixture of curds and whey through cheesecloth, the whey runs through to the bottom, the cheese stays in the cheesecloth, they tie it up in a circle if they want to make a round cheese or whatever shape they'd like, and they let it harden. Because it has these enzymes that were added, they're living creatures, and these things cause the cheese to keep on changing taste. The longer you have it, the more it changes. The different bacteria you use, you get different tastes. They have cheeses that are made in certain caves, where the caves are full of some type of special bacteria, which gives it a special taste. And they have all kinds of cheeses, some that change color. And the cheese experts say that for the kosher crowd, it doesn't pay to make fine cheeses because Jews don't appreciate fine cheese. And therefore, we only have the basic types of cheese that are made kosher.
Yeah.
That something has to be added to cure it. That's the crucial difference. And what's interesting is that in the Gemara we find many reasons for the chumrah of cheese. Cheese is more chamor than Chol Yisrael, as we'll see in a minute. Butter is more kal. Darach HaShulchan here gives a rundown. Why are we more machmir on cheese? So he says, kama tamen namru. Many reasons are given. Ha'echad mitzad or hakeva. I just told you, because enzymes are added from the stomach of the animal. Oitam, when they chalav tamei she'aymid ben agumais, because of chalav of a trefa animal well mixed in, even though it doesn't turn to cheese, it may be trapped in the cheese. Oitam neishemachalkem panel b'shuman chazir. They used to smooth out the surface with fats of a chazir. Three reasons. Fourth reason. Oitam mishum nikor haynu mishum giloi shein nisar midikur in the chashim. The snakes apparently like cheese. And in normal foods, in places where cheese were common, they would look for holes on the surface of a food to be able to see if a snake came to it. Mm-hmm. But in, what?
The
healer
is referring to the cheese or to the milk?
To the cheese. Nechashim. Apparently, the nechashim make holes in the cheese. And in cheese, which has natural holes, it doesn't. It's not near it. Maybe it does. This is the way I understand the words. You look it up. V'yesh b'zeh sakana. V'aytam, a fifth reason, ma'amid n'ayse b'chay mitz yayin esach. They used to use a vinegar of yayin esach. V'aytam, a sixth reason, sh'amid n'ayse b'sheretz arla. Anyway, there are six reasons. We name on the first reason, the reason that I mentioned, which is basically the reason which is mentioned here. There is a minig which the place can refer to as the meaning of one of the cities in Europe, catch the name here in a minute, that was Saimach on the time of Giloi, and therefore they held that in places when the Chashim are not Mitzuyim, it was mutter to have Gevina Sakum. That's why the Ramah brings in Loi B'makim Shenogu L'Hakel. There were places that had such a minig, but as far as the Paiskim are concerned, that particular minig is fallen by the wayside, and we're machmir. I'm going to get to the cottage cheese, the other types of cheese shortly. Gedolei Narbuna, or Garbuna, I can't tell. Rav Moshe mentioned that was a city. I don't know what city it is. That was Noig L'Hakir. Anyway, my point is that there are kama tamim in the Gemara to be machmir, but certainly we're machmir on Gavina. Now, before we get to the shilas of the other products, whether it's the cream cheese or the cottage cheese, the yogurt, or the whey, which we didn't talk about, halacha shayla, let's just learn the dinim of cheese. We'll see how we're machmir on cheese, and then we'll move on to other things. Today they have to put rennet. You can't make cheese without adding rennet. They have three types of rennet today. They have the two mentioned in the Gemara, the rennet that comes from animals, the rennet that comes from grass, from things that grow. There's something called microbial rennet, which is made, from microbes. But they have three types, and the other two types are kosher, and this is not kosher. Nevertheless, as we'll see now, even if you know for sure it's made with kosher, Gvinas Akum is also with a light plug. Period. Gvinas Akum, Gvina made by Goyim, is 100% treif. Many people grow up knowing this Chol of Yisrael and this Chol of Stam, thinking erroneously that the same thing is true about cheese. Going to the store, you buy cheese, it's made 100% out of a dairy product. And people have this erroneous idea that it has the same halacha, and it's not, because cheese is totally treif. If it's not made, as we'll see, with a Jew either present or participating, we'll see in a minute. Let's start with Sif Beis. Gevina Saiva Kechava Masurim. Sifei says that Gvina of a guy is aser, mamidim isai, because they cause it to become firm with the skin of the stomach in which it was shechted, she nevela. Now obviously if it was shechted, it's not nevela, but it means from the one in which they came, which in the case of made by Gaim is nevela. Even if you know 100% that they were maimed it with kosher rennet, it's absolutely aser because of a loy plug, and that's what Shach Yud Tes says. Shekvar gazu al kol gvinas evik echavim, beinim yidu avid avarissa, beinim yidu avid avaramuta, rama avapaiskim, etc. So there's a loy plug on this halacha. Ramah says, v'chein aminik vein lifritz geder, im loy bevokim shenogu bayim hetem ekadmainim. Unless there's a community where they have a minik to be meikul, which I don't think exists today, and therefore we aser all cheese products. The Ramah now brings two kulis, both of which are the subject of a certain amount of disagreement here on the page. Kula number one: Im Yisrael roya asiyas gavinas v'achaliva mutter. If a Jew observes the making of the cheese and the milking, mutter, v'chein aminik pashit b'chol medina yisraelu. Period. Now that's one. Now that kula is that you want to send down a mashkiach to Wisconsin. All the cheeses are made in Wisconsin. As a matter of fact, they're all made in the same area. I spoke to a Rabbi Ort from Wisconsin when I learned this the first time. I still have his phone number written down. I don't know if he's still there. But he lives in Milwaukee. He's got a firm community, and nearby he drives all over the place and he supervises the making of cheeses. Now, according to this Ramah, all he has to do is have Mashkiach there at the time observing the making of the cheese, make sure that kosher rennet is put in, and then it's mutter. The Shach in Sivkat Nechaf disagrees with this psak, that it's enough for a Jew to watch. The Shach holds that the Jew has to actually put the rennet into the milk. At least the starter culture, which is what they put in first, the beginning of the putting in of the culture must be done physically by a yid. And that is here a machlokes between the Ramah and the Shach. Just to give you a taste of the Shach, start from the first wide line, Chenu b'tshuvas maimini, end of the first wide line. Even if a Jew saw everything from milking to being made into cheese, Rutenberg, The boy dili eved Yisrael meisa sheyasim Yisrael akeva l'toich hacholav. A Jew has to actually physically participate in the making of the cheese by putting in the rennet into the milk. V'imayvi kachavim meisim nirali afal pish Yisrael oimin al gabay afila akeva ksheira asura. The product is aser. The akulis about a Jew watching, that's only on the milk. If it was milk when a Jew wasn't there, it was milk for cheese. We're going to see that kula in the second half of the Rama. Kamri d'loy osur mishrim taruv eskhol of tome, kim dasim chav lakfi lasis menu agvinis. Can love the yarf chalav tamesh and the yaimid hilkach mutter hachalav v'haynu shi'as Yisrael agavinus. Two separate shaylas. There's the chalav Yisrael shayla. For that, a Jew can watch it, and that's good enough. There's a cheese shayla. For the cheese shayla, it's not enough a Jew should watch it. The Jew has to actually participate physically. The shackles are to say that if the farm belongs to a Jew, the cheese, the milk, belong, everything belongs to a Jew, then it's enough that the guy could put in the chol of keva too. That's not gavina sakam, it's not the gavina of a guy, it's the gavina of a Jew. So you just have to know it's kosher. But if it's the gavina of a guy, so that's also with a loy plug. And the marker for this is the lashon of the Mishnah. The Mishnah's lashon is, I told you that Masechtas Avodah Zarah, daf lamed through mem, has a list of products made by goyim. Three Mishnayos, one which are kosher, one which is Aser Bachila Mutabana, one which is Aser Bahano Bachila. In the middle Mishnah, where it lists all these things, it lists Cholav Shechol Vayakum Ve'en Yisrael Re'ehu, in the Mishnah. Cholav Shechol Vayakum Ve'en Yisrael Re'ehu. And then it lists Gavinas Akum, period. It doesn't say Ve'en Yisrael Re'ehu. It's a diuk. When is Cholav Akum Aser En Yisrael Re'ehu? If a Jew sees it, it's good. When is Gavina Aser? Even Yisrael Re'ehu? It's not good enough. The Jew has to physically participate in the making of the milk. So here we have a machlokes, the Rama and the Shach. And Lahalacha, I'll tell you the list of Poskim. The Chochmas Adam and the Kitzer are machma like the Shach. I think Grotesvav, I didn't see anybody list it, but I think Grotesvav is also machmir. So you have the Chochmas Adam, the Gra, the Kitzer, that's pretty tough, with the Shach being Machmir. On the other hand, with the Ramah, you have the Pesachei Tshuva Vav quoting the Noid Yehuda, who's Mekel, and the Pri Chodosh, Mechas Yaakov, the Orcha Shulchan is Mekel, but Makam Tzairuch like the Ramah, and Rav Moshe, the Tshuva Simen Nun, in the first year of day, also writes that the Ikar Adin is Lohakel. So you have serious poskim on both sides in the case of an Issa Drabanan, as whether one should be Mekel like the Ramah or Machmir like the Shach. The policy of all of the Hechsherim from which we eat is to be Machmir like the Shach. They're all Machmir that the Jew has to physically put in the rennet into the milk. That's the policy of the OU. And as far as I was told, of all of the Hechsherim that the Star K, I think, also has Hechsher on cheese. And that's the policy.
It's done by machine.
It's done by machine, but the first that's put in is put in by a Jew. If a Jew throws it in or pushes the button on the machine, I don't know, but it's all the same. As long as a Jew puts in the... you don't need lishma, you know. It's not like the machine matters. So that's the thing. Now, as far as what was the takana, how much of a heksher do you need? It's enough to see it, or you have to actually do it? I don't know what the svara exactly is, but we're just trying to figure out what Chazal made a takana. Yeah, but apparently not knowing is not enough, according to the Shach. You have to actually do it. The Shach doesn't say svara, he brings Makairis, that was their takana. Yes. Does it require... So Gvinas Yisrael, he says later, there's no gezeira on Gvinas Yisrael. You just have to know it's kosher, like any other heksher. You have to know it's kosher. So there, as long as a Jew knows that what was put in is kosher, that's good enough. Jewish-owned, I guess Jewish-owned milk. So the company is Jewish-owned, it would be fine. I don't think there are any such companies, at least in the United States. They're all owned by Goyim, and the Jews go in there and make whatever they make, the cheese or the milk, whatever it is. Now, what? According to what I was given to understand, they make cheese in cheese factories, not they have their own factory. That's because of the second Ramah. We're going to get to that now. So that's number one, kula number one of the Ramah, Yisrael Rayeyu. Let's see kula number two. If he saw the cheese made, but not the milking, now here think, what's the shaila? He saw the making of the cheese. There's no rennet shaila. It's a chalav akum shaila. He took chalav of a guy, which is a chayra treif, and cheese was, the guy made cheese out of it. So he says, yeshlahati b'di'evet, ki ein locho shem yirub by davatane. So here the Ramah says that you could be meikel. Now listen to the shaila. Here you have a second kula of the Ramah. The Ramah says that if milk is milk purposely for cheese, milk is milk not for drinking milk, but for cheese, then the iser of chalav akum does not apply if the milk is turned into cheese by goyim, because they would never mix in chalav tameh, because since chalav tameh does not turn to gvina, therefore it's a waste of chalav tameh. They can throw in the chalav tameh. When they make the gvina and they put the cheesecloth through it, all the chalav tameh is going to fall out into the whey, and nothing's going to happen with it. Therefore, if it was originally milked for the purpose of making cheese, the Ramah says it could be meikel. The Shach of Gimel adds a condition. V'davka shekayne mimenu schum gevinais. Davka, if the farmer who sells the milk to the cheesemaker is paid only by the amount of cheese made from it, oy lefi hamishkol, or by weight, the ma'achad the chalof tamei einei oimid einei marvay davetamei. If the milk farmer who sells it to the cheesemaker, if the milk farmer gets paid for the volume of milk, so still makes him tummy dick and milk. So who cares if cheese, the cheesemaker is going to lose it? He doesn't care. He's going to get paid. If it's sold based on the amount of gavina or the weight of the gavina that comes from it, that's different. Now I asked this Rabbi Ort how it's done in Wisconsin. So he told me that every truckload of milk that comes to the cheese factory, a sample is taken from it, and they get paid based on the fat content of the milk. They get paid for the milk based on the fat content of the milk, and presumably that satisfies the condition of the shach. And therefore you have this kula of the Ramah. Now this kula does not help for the Issa Gvina Sakum. It helps with something like Miller's cheese, which is made Gevinas Yisrael, Naseh from Cholov, which is Cholov Stam. So if you're Machmir on Cholov Yisrael, according to the Ramah, you could still be Mekel on eating Miller's cheese, because even though I wouldn't drink the milk from which Miller's cheese is made, but that cheese itself has this kula of the Ramah. It's made from milk, which was milked to be made from cheese. I asked him, if everything milked in Wisconsin is milk for cheese, he said 98% of the milk that's milked in the state of Wisconsin is made into cheese. So I guess that provides cheese for everybody. Milk that's milked for milk, at least from the eastern east coast, comes from Jersey mostly, and it's different cows that are some cows are cheese cows and some cows are milk cows. So, Shalom Israel. What? Why are we machmir? Because this is the Ramah's kula. The Taz in Yud Aleph disagrees. Again, I could go through the whole Taz, but he ends the last four lines. Okay, Nirulani is Taiti Shein Lahakul Gambazet. Ben Lahatirum Ken Hoy Yisrael Eitzel Achalivo Fidasa Rambam. Besud, because the says gam achshav yeshis lamad yam v'shem giloi. What about the other reasons, or Rabbeinu Tam? So lamaisa, this pool is also a machlaikis. Now, still, someone's traveling, and he wants to. Ramesha has a kula anyway, and now he wants to be mitzdarif another kula, so there's what to be mitzdarif to be mekel, but these are the two issues.
The cows in Wisconsin did not have
the
surgery.
The cows in Wisconsin don't have it. That's very interesting.
I asked him because at that time it was Megay, and I asked him because Jersey cows did have it.
Jersey cows have surgery and Wisconsin cows don't. Okay, it's another reason to bet it. So this is basically the din of Gavina, the Isser, the two kulis of the Ramah, both of which are the subject of a machlokes. So I'm not sure. I asked him because there really is fair content. It's just a bunch. I don't know. I'm not sure what the answer is. He explained it. He answered my question. He said that they don't measure fat content; they measure butter fat content, which is only in the kosher milk. I don't know exactly what that means. I don't. What? Maybe from the top. I'm not. This is what I was told. Now, Moshkul is with Cholavakum. We discussed that in the past, that it's called the Yedia, since the government supervises. There's nothing to do with the cheese, it has to do with the milk. Okay. Now, that's the din of butter, of cheese. Let's learn the din of butter, and then we'll discuss cream cheese, cottage cheese, the other products. Hachema shalayvi kechavim, ein meichin lanchi amakim shenayga by heter. Hachema shalayvi kechavim, he says there, it's a meichin. Why not? So shachov zayin. How like gozu al achema? They never made a zayin on butter. B'chalav tamei ena yaimid. There's pretty good reason to be meikel. We're meikel because they never acid it. Sheminig v'im roiv b'nei amokim neigin iser ein l'shanais. In a place where roiv people are neig iser, you should respect the minig la'asar. And the reason for that, the Be'er HaGoy Laches, why are some machmirim? Tor b'shem aviv arash, kedas miktos goyinim, the chashino l'tzuchei cholov. The Rambam brings, there were miktos goyinim that were machmir, because they were chashish for droplets of milk that don't turn to butter, but they're somehow mixed into the butter. Pirish Rashi ben gumishol gvina nishar min cholov. So by butter also, they were machmir, that maybe that's tzuchei cholov. Uvamakim she'ein minik, in a place where there's no known minik, such as Brooklyn, New York, in Bishla, atshahalchut tzuchei cholav mutaris. If the butter was cooked to a degree that liquid runs off, we don't find droplets of liquid in our butter, then it's mutaris. And so it ramoyez gamutul levash lechatchilo kedeshiyachut tzuchei cholav, and could also cook it to make sure that it's tzuchei cholav run off in Bishlei v'kechav muteres t'sam klayim ain't even a yad. Now, no, because it's mutar unless it's seen more than a 60th run off. But okay. Now,
orange juice in this country, orange the way it is now, could change. It doesn't need a hechsher. Is it necessary for butter, 100% butter, to have a hechsher?
Butter, okay. Butter. Ravelsky mentioned when he was here last time. Is that breakstone, he said, was were machadish, an idea of eating, I think something he pronounced, something like butyric acid. They add some type of an ingredient to it to enhance the flavors. And as Mendy mentioned, he said, if you buy the lightly salted breakstone, that doesn't have any flavor enhancers except for the salt. And the other, if it's 100% pure butter with nothing added to it, then there's no problem with it. Okay. So we have three sifim: cholav akum, gvinas akum, chemas akum. Chemas akum is the most kuladik. I mentioned to you that Rav Gedalia Shor used to allow the yeshiva to put out the USDA butter, even though he's makbin on cholav of Israel. But on the butter, he was not machmir, because on butter, there's an ikra did that it's
butter. The lower grade butter is probably the government butter.
I mentioned this last week, that the lower grade butter is normally made from the cream of the milk. There is, and I mentioned this to you last week, I read that article, that there are lower grade butters that are made with whey milk, which which I haven't discussed with you, the byproducts of whey. Hopefully I get to it yet. And therefore, if it's not the best type of butter, not the grade A butter, a person has to worry about other ingredients which have a problem. But no, because it's like plug. You can't be mashed cheese. Even if you know for sure cheese is 100% kosher, the Jews are watching the Haliva, and the guy made a granite to it. It's still awesome, right? It's still awesome unless you eat Yisrael Re'eyu like the Ramah, or Yisrael Re'eyu according to the Shabbos. I'm not sure. We're looking Shach Yud Ches for the question. What? Butter, yeah, butter is made from the Mendy? I left my notebook on the blue or loose leaf on the. Okay, brain isn't here today. Okay. In butter or in cheese? Okay, let's talk about other products. Cream cheese. No, I assume not. What's the problem? That the gezeira should apply. The original gezeira, I guess, should apply. The gezeira of Chalav Akum should apply. If it can be in butter, then the gezeira should apply. Could it be more than shishim? I suppose it could be. If it's actually more than shishim, we'll ask it a kelim.
Based on the minute, we said minute, like if I have a butter sandwich and I travel, made of
the... That's the rest of the Ramah talks about traveling. We'll get to it. Let's... Okay. I mean, one piece may not have. Okay. All right, Rabbi said, let me just finish because I wanted to try to finish up the SIF today. We'll deal with the questions in a minute. I just would like to describe to you something very interesting about cream cheese, cottage cheese, whey, and if you have a chance, the yogurt, which is less of an issue, but. Cream cheese. Rav Moshe has a tshuva in the first volume of Yeridaya, the end of Simin Nun. The tshuva itself is about other issues, but in the last five lines, he says the following. Bedvar cream cheese. In yesh bezeh isa gevina sakum. Question. Is cream cheese like butter? And therefore you don't need Chalav Yisrael. You don't need gevinas Yisrael. Or is cream cheese like cheese, and therefore you do? Hine yesh tamim lahatir, shloi lahashu zegavina, shenaita lahashu zela cream, shenigvad. There's far to say that it should be like the heavy cream on top of the milk. Nukein ubedin chema. Ava lamaisa eini oime bezele heta vela yisr, vetoiv lahachmir. Ava limchais beilu shoich lamaisa ein srichen. Ramesh says there's a svar to be meikel, there's a svar to be machmir, so I don't tell people what to do. But ain't sweet. This is a teaser. What could it be about cream cheese that gives it sad that it's like chema and it's sad that it's like avena? So I can only guess what Ramesha means. However, what I did is I looked into the way cream cheese is made, and based on that, I'm going to suggest Ramesha Safik. What is the defining criteria for cheese as opposed to butter? It seems that butter has no rennet added. It's made from the milk itself, and therefore butter is more kuladik. Shenken cheese, which rennet is added, rennet typically was treif. Chazal made gzeira. Cream cheese, the way it's described here. I have two definitions of how cream cheese is made. The difference between the two is very interesting. One is more readable than the other. So I'll start with the first one. Cream cheese is made from a combination of cream and milk. That's the milk as it comes from the cow. It's not matured or hardened. That means it's not made to stand as our other cheeses. Instead, It's slightly firmed by the introduction of lactic acid, so that something is added. But that which is added is not rennet. Here, you have a svara to go both ways. You could say, well, the gzera was made because something made with rennet. This is not made with rennet, and therefore it should have a din like butter. Or you could argue that this is a din of cheese, because something is added. Because something is added. So he writes that this is the way it's made. Frequently, less expensive brands will add stabilizers like guar gum to get the necessary firmness. But some feel using stabilizers and cream cheese is cheating. They will only eat cream cheese made the old-fashioned way, without stabilizers. However, without stabilizers, it's more crumbly than spreadable. We've had those. Has a relatively short shelf life. My part, I don't mind doing it the new-fashioned way. But anyway, this is the way cream cheese is described. In a second description of cream cheese, it says the following. Cream cheese is difficult to manufacture. Normally, protein molecules in milk have a negative surface charge, which keeps the milk in a liquid state. The molecules act as surfactants, forming micelles, micelles, around the pasteurized fat and keeping it in emulsion. Okay? That at least I could define for you. An emulsifier is something you add to cause things that don't usually mix to mix. The way I understand the way emulsifiers work is, let's say you have fat and a water-based liquid. Fat and water don't mix. The micelles, which are formed, basically they cheat. They surround the fat with a layer of something that does mix and it forms. So he says normally the milk is a natural emulsion, meaning that whatever it is that makes the cream cheese firm is mixed into the liquid. Lactic acid, which is what's added, lactic acid bacteria added to pasteurize and homogenize milk during the fermentation, about 23 degrees, the pH level of the milk decreases. Amino acids at the surface of the proteins begin losing charge. They stop becoming neutral, turning the fat micelles from hydrophilic to hydrophobic state, and causing the liquid to coagulate. Okay, it sounds complicated. I think if I'm correct, hydrophobic and hydrophilic just means it mixes with hydrogen. It doesn't mix with hydrogen. With water, which is the hydrogen of the water. If the bacteria are left in the milk too long, the pH lowers further, the micelles attain a positive charge, and the mixture returns to liquid form. The key is to kill the bacteria by heating the mixture to 52 degrees. At the moment, the cheese is an isoelectric point, meaning a state at which half the ionizable surface amino acids of the proteins are positively charged and half are negative. Inaccurate timing of heating leads to an inferior unusable product. So I think you understand exactly what they're saying. Now, what they'll get to us in this description, the truth is, it's fascinating to read. Basically, milk, what he's saying in English is that milk is turned into cream cheese not because the things that are added are what make it cream cheese. The things that are added change the pH balance of the mixture in a way that causes it not to emulsify, which causes the fat to stand on its own and become firm. And that's how you get cream cheese. It basically, what's added is only added to cause a chemical reaction. It's not added to do anything, to give taste to it at all. And therefore, that's the status of cream cheese. So I like the first explanation as well, but anyway. It's a question, right? Either way, the issue is what you call. Remember that both butter and cheese have to be made from Chol Yisrael milk, lemaisa, unless you take on the Senkula. The Rama, we're talking that milk is Chol Yisrael. We still have a problem with cheese, which we don't have with butter, and that's the second gezeira that Chazal made. Oh, then so that the question, you may be right, you may be wrong. It depends. Why are we making on butter? Because you can't make butter from the milk of non-kosher animals. Is it possible to make cream cheese from the milk of non-kosher animals? I have no idea. So I don't know if that particular aspect is true, but the truth is there was no gezeira made on this to that degree, and therefore it it should not, it possibly should not be an issue.
Do they have cream cheese in the
I have no idea. Ramesha doesn't have another name for it except for cream cheese, spelled Kuf Reish Yud Endemem and Tashin Yud Zayin.
So, yeah, what do they do for brisket?
Now, apparently they, what? No, what he's what really he's pointing out is they didn't make exairah. It didn't exist. They didn't make exairah. Yes. Now, cottage cheese is another interesting shaila, the mitzias of cottage cheese. Cottage cheese, Ramesha has a tshuva in Chelek Beis. It's written to Rav Schwab. It's Chelek Beis of Yeridei Atshuva Memches. He also writes Eini Omer B'Zeh Leyisav Leheter, but there he explains. And there he explains as follows. Cottage cheese can be made from milk without adding anything to it by allowing the milk to curdle into the cheese. And the truth is, if you have milk which stayed around for 2 weeks, and you could see it's like cottage cheese what separates. So he said, Ramesha writes, cottage cheese can be made without adding anything to it, just by skimming the fat and letting the rest of it stand, and eventually it's going to become cottage cheese. I guess you have to pull it out before it turns sour, but that's how you get cottage cheese. In fact, today no one has patience. So today they do add something, a rennet type of ingredient, to speed up that curdling of the cottage cheese. So Ramesha writes, the suffix is, be'etzem, you don't need to add anything. Lamaisa, they do add things. So his suffix is, Chazal, the guys are only on cheeses which need rennet in order to be made into cheese, or the guys are on cheese in which rennet is used. That's Ramesha's suffix. He says, Eini Yayma Bezele, Hetem Leyeser, and there's sort of a similar lashon to here, that you don't have to be meichin to make kilim, but it's proper type lahach. So that cottage cheese and cream cheese fall into
a separate area.
Okay, no problem. So that is the status. Cream cheese and cottage cheese are an in-between status of Tev Lahachbir of Englim Chais Biham Hakilim. What did Ashkochis do with the cream cheese? No, it's a good question. I don't know. The question is, is the OU cream cheese, are they Makbid on this or not? I think not. I think they are Makel. That's what Ramesha says, Englim Chais Biham Hakilim, because they don't... They don't do it. Now the Shaila of Way is another Shaila. Here we go to a third step. Step number one is the separating of the cream, which leads to the making of butter. Step number two is the eating of rennet and the pulling out of the curds, the making of cheese. What's left is whey. Whey is mecholov. Whey has kashrus issues, serious kashrus issues, because whey could be made with cheese that's treif. To buy whey on the open market is also stam whey is treif. All whey was made by separating the curds, and the curds were treif, then the whey is treif. The whey is then separated once again. Whey, through cooking, can be separated. The whey has the lactose and the protein. It's a combination of sugar and protein. And I told you when we began that milk has four major components: the water, the fat, from which the butter is made and the cheese really basically comes from, and then it has the proteins, which are the whey, and the sugar, which is the lactose. Those two parts are what remains in the liquid after you pull out the cheese. By cooking, and I'm not sure how exactly you separate it through cooking, but through cooking, one can separate the lactose, which is sweet, from the whey, which is bitter. That whey, which is now a second level of whey, it's the whey protein. It's pure whey protein without the sugar. That, in the language of Chazal, is called mei mei cholov. Mei mei cholov are mei mei cholov. Are not milachik min ha-Torah. That's what says in halacha. Min ha-Torah, regular whey is milachik. Whey protein is only milachik min drabonon. It's is the whey protein that's separated.
That's a solid. That's a solid.
I don't believe
that's the reason that's the way they do it. If they
if you denature a protein, it turns into a solid, like egg, when you cook it, and then the protein falls away, and what's left in the liquid is the lactose.
Reading from the OU, the OU's guidelines to Mashgichim, it says whey is a byproduct of cheese making. There are plants where both the cheese and whey are non-kosher, just like milk has a cream content. That's a little more than I told you. He says whey also has a cream content. It's not only the protein. By putting whey through a separator, just like milk, you will end up with whey cream. Most factories keep the whey cream and the fresh cream separate. These are two very different commodities with different values. However, in a plant where the whey is not kosher, one, this is a letter to Mashgichim, one must keep track of where the whey cream is separated, stored, heated, etc., to make sure the kosher of the fresh cream is not compromised. For this very reason, we do not accept fresh cream from any plant that also deals or produces whey cream unless it's properly kosher certified. Which means the OU is saying that while regular cream, if you're not back from the Chol of Yisrael, is mutter, you can make butter out of it, but if it's a plant that also makes whey cream, that there's a chashash that that's going to be mixed in. I suppose, just out loud, that the whey cream is not the meimei chalav. It seems that's the hard part. The liquid, maybe the lactose that comes out, is the other part. So this is basically the issue. Now what remains are sour cream, yogurt, leaven. Sour cream in Yamim Kadmaini Yais was made from sweet cream. Today, sour cream is made from milk, from not skim milk, from milk obviously which has cream in it, but it's made by introducing cultures. Yogurt, sour cream, and leaven, they tell me, is just a different type of yogurt, is made from milk, and as far as we understand, it has the same dinim as milk. It's a milk product, and it has the same dinim as milk. It has neither the dinim of butter nor the dinim of other things are added. Nor does it have the dinim of cheese. It doesn't resemble cheese in any way. And therefore, sour cream, yogurt, are things which are mutter. They need a hechsher. But if you're not makban al-Chol Yisrael milk, you don't have to be makban al-Chol Yisrael sour cream or yogurt.
The Why is it the same suffix as cream cheese?
I suppose, because in the case of cream cheese, what's added is added to cause the fat molecules to come together or to become hard and firm, which is similar to cheese. Now, Shane Kane, in the case of the other things, are just other ingredients added to it, which are, I suppose, well, it obviously changes the texture. I suppose that's the reason. I'm not sure. Now, yes. No. The Chol Yisrael is not based on the Heter Ramesha. Chol Yisrael cream cheese is made from Chol Yisrael milk, and a yid is there, it's treated as cheese. Migdal makes cream cheese?
I don't think they make
it. I thought in cheese it has to be that the mice is done by Israel.
Yeah, I'm assuming that's done by the cream cheese.
That
the adding of whatever is added is done by Israel, yeah. Yes. I don't know it. I know it. I'm assuming it. If you want, we can try to check it out. I could ask Rebelski. I could ask Rabbi Ort. He gives a hechsher on the. Although, no, the cream cheese actually is probably made here. I don't know if it's made out in Wisconsin. But he would know. He seems to be an expert in it. Now, I'd like to finish this Ramah and then discuss our schedule. The Ramah just ends with a separate issue. He said, butter, there are different makaymais. So the last three lines of the Ramah on this page, you travel from a place with 1 minute to another. And you have to know the rule. If you go from a place with 1 minute to another, you have to keep chumrei hamakim shahalach misham and chumrei hamakim shahalach lisham, unless you're moving there. If you move, you can take on that minute. It's a mistake when people say that minig goes by family, by father and grandfather. No such thing in halacha. Minig goes by place. In New York City, which is a mishmash of, there's no minig amakim, everybody has. So the Gedolim, after the Holocaust, went, set up such a kfiyas that you go with the minig of your parents' home, meaning of the last community in which your parents live. But really, you go by minig amakim. If somebody who comes from a Satmar background or a real Hungarian background, where everyone waited 6 hours after meat, what to move to Zurich, only one reason I could think he would want to do that. To move to Zurich, he only has to wait 3 hours for meat to milk. Once you're in a place where that's the minig of the city, if I care, if you have a German Jew who moves to Skver, he has to wait 6 hours because Skver town has one minig. The place has one minig, that's the din. If you travel from a place with one minig to another temporarily, the first Mishnah in Perek Makom Shenahagu is that you have to keep the chumras of the Makom Shehalach Misham and the chumras of the Makom Shehalach Lisham. Zok to Ramah, im halach me Makom She'einaych L'maisa, Makom She'eich L'naisa, Eichel Shami Mahem. Then, the place you go, you're allowed to eat with them. Frecht, Zok to Shach and Chof Hes, Api Shedaite Lazar. It's a contradiction to the rule I just said. Still, Eichel Imahem, Hashenkem Shai Risser, Dakim Eishim. That Kemaisha says, since this Chumra is a Chumra Yisera, here you're allowed to be Mekel, like the Mokim Shalach L'Sham, even if you're going there temporarily. Aval, Asa Lehevi Imayu Lo'echla B'Mokim Shanayga B'Yisr. You're not allowed to bring from the place you want to the place you're going, and eat, if you're going, Fakir, to a place you're Nayga B'Yisr, Imla Yesh Ba'a Heker Shum B'Mokim Samutarim. Unless it's somehow Nicker, that it comes from a place that's mutter, certainly can't be mishana from the makim you are. Yeshemim hua dinim huva memakim atel makim yisr nami asura afili yesh by hacker. Some say it's always asur if you go to a new place. V'achi nohug. And again, I'm not going to spend time on it because there's not something that comes up a whole lot. Now, yes.
The microbial starter cultures, when they isolate it from the environment, what do they grow on?
I'm not sure what they grow them on. I only know that what's mentioned in the Paiskim is that it's mutter. What Dr. Babich is thinking about is the fact that they have this made with a thumb heter of microbes that are grown on things. That's what you're thinking about, microbes that are grown on.
I think the LK passes it 4 times on media that's not great.
Okay. All right, I can explain the issue. There's an issue as follows. How do microbes change things? Microbes, which are living organisms, how do they change something? They're just living creatures. You put ants in something, it doesn't change it. The answer is that microbes change things, you'll pardon me, by swallowing what they eat and excreting something. The question is whether the thing that is excreted has a din of the original Michael. Whether that is a kula now, it's nishtana, and it's something new. Now, as far as I know, the Hechsherim are machmir, except by kidney is on Pesach, the OU is Michael. The reason the OU is Michael on the diet sodas that have aspartame. Aspartame is made by microbes that are grown on corn, and they are makel because they hold of this, what they call the kosher cow heter, they have some expression such as that, that it's nishtana, even though they're not makel normally, but kidneys, which is a chumra, kidneys and nishtana, which is certainly a chumra, they're makel. So I think that's the line of reasoning. If the OK has such a thing that if it changes 4 times, it's mutter. I'm not familiar with it, and if you have paperwork on it, I'd love to see it. But my understanding is that they consider the microbes kosher. What? Okay, so to answer that question, next week, I don't know how many of you will still be here in the city. I'd like next Sunday to give a shiur on the worms and the fish, not to give you a psak, to explain both sides. There are two legitimate shittas. It's sad when one side is mevatel the other. There are two legitimate shittas and a number of legitimate issues. So I'd like to give the shiur. What? Yeah, no, I'd like to do the lumdus of it and explain it. Now, normally we begin.